Our guests today are Antibalas, the 12-piece band playing Afrobeat for 14 years, and they've just released their new self-titled album. It is their first in 5 years. They have kept Afrobeat, the music of Fela Kuti, which took Africa by storm in the 70s, alive. Members of the 12-piece band have also been part of the Broadway show Fela. Their lead singer, Amayo, is a native of Lagos, Nigeria. And I asked the band what titles were considered before they settled on just calling the new album simply Antibalas.
We're thinking about Dirty Money,
Ibeji,
Creatures of Habit.
Yeah.
That's right. And at the same time, we're thinking like this is the album that I think defines the band as far as something that we're all happy with, you know, catches us at our best. We've really had time to marinate, to sort of step away and come back to it and have all these other musical experiences with different groups that are very compelling in their own right. And yet after 14 years, you know, with all the chips sort of stacked against a 12-piece band making analog music and different languages that are three times as long as a normal radio song. And here we all are, you know, and this is who we are. So it seemed to make sense for this one.
That is Martine Berna, who is a founding member of the band. Stuart Bogie is with us today, and Amayo as well, who is the incredible vocalist on Antibalas' music for the last few years. I wanted to get this performance of Dirty Money. How about that? How did that come about?
Yeah, Dirty Money, I think, kind of came about from a bunch of discussions. Besides, before the song actually came out, we've been talking about money from day one. How do you sustain a band of this size, you know? And do you take sponsorship money, you know? We've had issues with, like, Camel cigarettes in the past, and, you know? So, you know, like, those are issues that we decide on money by money basis, where the money is coming from, you know? So Dirty Money, the music itself kind of like came out in the studio. Luke O'Malley, who, you know, our guitarist and one of our composers, you know, he came in just humming some of those rhythms. And he had most of all the basic parts together, and we kind of like worked it out in the studio. And then I came up with a couple of nice hooks in the beginning, and then those hooks just evolved from, I had a pad and writing stuff down. Gabe would say a couple of words. Luke would interject with another word. So, you know, it came together rather quickly.
This is Dirty Money, live in the studio with Antibalas here on the World Cafe.
Dirty money not the float. Dirty not dirty money, oh. Dirty money not the float. Oh yeah. Men go hanging in the river, calling brother, save me now. Brother showed up in a copter, tossing coin with not the float.
Dirty Money, which is the lead track on the new Antibalas album, and as we mentioned at the top, it's been a while since guys have been on the show, and it's just so great. It's actually been a while since last album, so it is great to have this whole thing coming together. Martine, I would love it if you would kind of lead us back through the history of how this all happened, because correct me if I'm wrong, it seems at the beginning you were really interested in putting together a large group of musicians, and some of it was inspired by the incredible bands that Eddie Palmieri had together. So that's a whole different style of music, and I know funk is all part of what you guys play. But it seems that what I read about the beginning is that Afrobeat was just a part of it.
It was. I mean, I was one of the original members of Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, and at that time there were about five or six guys that were sort of splitting their time between both groups. And this precursor to Daptone Records had put out an album called The Doctaris, which was some Afrobeat and a lot of funk influenced by various West African movements. And there were some ex-members of Fela that were part of that, but it was strictly a studio project. And being a part of that, I felt like this is a music whose time has come in the United States. And Fela did get over here at various times between 1969 and his passing in 1997, but it just never took off here. There were definitely music heads that were religiously into it, but it never really took off. And musically and as a message, I felt like this is time. And at the same time, there were other artists from the 70s that were maintaining this spirit of musical protest, using the music to say something. But the music itself, the quality of the music was just so infectious. So yeah, Eddie Palmieri was definitely one of those artists stretching the boundaries of sort of traditional mambo and salsa rhythms and interjecting jazz and different harmonic concepts and other instruments that weren't normally in a salsa orchestra. And those influences are definitely in there. I mean, we did a version of Hector Lavoe's Che Che Cole a couple years ago, and last summer we did a little EP with a song called Se Chi Flow in Spanish. But Afrobeat is such a vast language that takes a lot of work to master it, and takes even more work to say something relevant and compelling. So we, over the years, we decided to focus more on that, but at the same time, our pronunciation of it has a different accent than Femi Kuti, who grew up in Lagos, or, you know, some bands from Brazil that are playing Afrobeat now.
Mm. Hmm. Yeah, not to take anything away what Femi and it's pronounced Sean are doing, the offspring of Fela, but it seems to me that you guys picked up at a time when the fields were fallow in Afrobeat. There was a danger of it kind of disappearing. I say that because I suspect in Africa it was very hard to put together bands as large as Fela's band, and you guys were able to do that. So there was something about carrying the torch that that you guys came in at an incredibly fortunate time.
I mean, a lot of people, one of the biggest things, I mean, particularly for musicians that were part of Fela's group, we met a number of them who left his group after 1978 and stayed in Europe. And part of it was just a matter of survival, and not financial survival, but the music was so powerful that they risked their lives to continue playing it.
Mm.
And so that's part of it, you know. And we don't, there's a different type of authoritarianism that exists in the United States, that you generally, if you're singing political music, you might be blacklisted, but you're not going to, the soldiers aren't going to raid your house and set it on fire, at least not yet. you know, and then financially, you know, it's something that's really, even to this day, you know, being fairly well known and musically successful, it's, the overhead is massive, you know. So it just, even for us to have bagels this morning, it was a lot of money. And it takes a lot of work and a lot of dedication. So that's a big barrier, too. And then there's no, the United States, the public isn't primed for it. They don't have any cultural references. So it's kind of funny sometimes when people write about us and they're like, it sounds just like Santana. And it's like, well, I love Santana, but it doesn't sound anything like, you know, just because there's congas on stage and there's a couple different rhythmic accents doesn't make it Santana. You know, it's, yeah. So it's still, I feel like after 14 years of playing it, we still have a ton of work cut out for us of just, you know, the United States, as educated as people are about certain things, are really uneducated when it comes to music, particularly music that has its roots outside of the continental United States. And, you know, it's a labor of love. It's a mission.
Stuart, talk a little bit about playing outside of the U.S. I know you've played in Europe a bunch. Have you been able to play with and or for older members of Fela's bands? And I guess the second part of that question, I really want to hear about that, but the second part of the question is, have you ever played in Africa?
I have traveled to Africa and performed. Antibalas has yet to go there as a group, which is something that we're still dreaming of and trying to figure out how to administrate. Meeting and communing with former members of Fela's group is a very heavy experience, because you spend so much time studying and kind of, you know, giving your soul up and listening to these records, and you have your eyes closed, and you're really just, you're opening your heart up to what the music is saying, in whatever that means. You're open to it for hours all the time, and then you're playing it. So when you're playing it, you're experiencing it. You're like living in it, and so to me, like when we met Tunde Williams in San Francisco, it was like we'd been living in his old apartment.
Tunde Williams is the trumpet soloist on all
the seminal beautiful punctuated poetic solos that added a critical balance to all those recordings. You know, and he gave us his heart. We hugged, and it was a phenomenal moment for us. We performed at the Yerba Buena Center in San Francisco, and I don't know, it really brought us together as a band too, and realized that we're part of something that's so much bigger than ourselves. And this isn't a band that's really big anyway, so you generally feel like that when things are going well, or when things aren't going well, you feel like this thing is overwhelmingly big. But to meet him connected that musical orchestra feeling to history, and it was like, wow. And you know, the affirmation, that they know what we're doing is coming from the heart, and they can feel it.
Mm-hmm. God, that sounds fantastic.
If any of those members said, "You guys, if you need to stop," those would be the only people whose word I would take, you know, because they have that authority. They have that they took their licks literally, you know, to play this music. And a number of them, particularly Tony Allen, are co-architects of the music.
Yeah. And I think what one thing that I've discovered, and I've gotten to be firsthand in that discovery, is that the music we're practicing is an international art form that was created in Lagos. Comes from Nigeria, but was created with a post-colonial, post-modern, vast musical knowledge that Fela had. This is not a traditional music that we're co-opting or appropriating. It is a truly international art form. I think a lot of people don't get that because they don't want to give it that much respect in a way. Mm. And we've learned that.
We're talking with the members of Antibalas, who have a new album out on Daptone Records, just called Antibalas. Let's get to another performance of, we heard the first track on the new Antibalas album. Let's get to the last one. Sorry, Con Con, am I saying it right?
Yeah, right.
Tell me about this one.
As a group, oftentimes we're headless, and we are running and running and running, and we're knocking things over. Things are falling off desks and doors are getting thrown open, and we're just running and running. And there's something about that momentum that keeps us all together. And as soon as you try and lead the group, you're thrown overboard. And in the nature, in the words and in the way we play that song, that feeling is evoked. And there's no time in the song to say, what about what? Done. Overboard. We should have. Overboard. There's only forward. So it's about running like hell.
Tracy. Thank you.
Sorry, Con Con, recorded live for the World Cafe by our guest today, Antibalas, and it is on the new album, just called Antibalas. You know, it's interesting. You talk about how long your songs are, but, man, you pull out a Phalo record, and you can go for 19 minutes, and somehow you sometimes want more, right?
Yes.
So you guys are pretty darn concise, you know, when you come down to it.
This record in particular has our shortest songs on it, and by short, you know, 5.5 to 7 minutes long. And we kind of agonized because, you know, playing a song that's 6 minutes long is twice as much, that even a short song that's 6 minutes takes up twice as much space as your average pop song. And even just for a radio DJ to consider that, you know, that's all the less time they have to play other new music. And compositionally, it was a challenge for us of like, what is, you know, what in a 19-minute song has to be, can chop out and what needs to stay. What is the essence of this? And so in the arrangements that we put on this album, it was that it reflects that. At the same time, when you see us play it live, the songs are not going to be 5 or 6 minutes. They're probably going to be 8 to 12 minutes long, or longer. Because we have in the past, we did a song called Sister that was 19 minutes. Other songs that were easily, you know, between 12 and 17 minutes long. I don't think we have any regrets about doing it like this, but this on the new record, it was a challenge, and I think the songs are really strong. So we did prove to ourselves that we can make compelling songs that happen to be more concise.
Andy Ballas, our guest. Congratulations, guys, on this new
album. Thank you.
Thank you.
Big thanks to Andy Ballas for being our guest today on The Cafe. That new self-titled album is out now, and we'll be back in a moment on The World Cafe.